Hey everyone, Jefferson Graham here. We are talking the iPhone Photography Day today, and we have a very special guest, Mr. Scott Kelby. Here he is, all the way from Florida.
From Florida, yeah. I'm trying to get my angle here. That's better. There we go. Yeah, okay. Hey. Hi, Jeff.
Okay.
How you doing?
Hi. Thanks for being here. Thanks for talking iPhone stuff with us. I think my hair's a little weird, but hey, what are you going to do? It went flying up.
Hey, why do you think I'm wearing a hat, man? If I take this thing off, all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, well, anyway. So Scott is, at one time, was the number one computer book author. I don't know what title he has now. He writes more photography books than anybody I know. So if he's not the number one, he is one of the most prolific, and he's probably working on a new one now. He is a Photoshop guru. He is an incredible photographer, and he is the Kelby of Kelby One, which is an amazing photography instruction website, right?
Wow. Well, Jeff, thank you. That's just the way I wrote it. So thank you for reading it exactly that way.
Yeah, no problem. And today we're here talking about the iPhone Photography Conference, which is coming up on the 27th of February.
Yeah.
So Scott, why don't you start off by just telling everybody about the conference, why you're doing it, and what to expect?
So this is the third year we have done it, and it is just a whole lot of fun. It is a 2-day conference with a pre-conference included the day before. So we have a couple of pre-conference sessions the day before. One of them is from Larry Becker, who basically gives you an orientation on how the whole thing works. And then we have a pre-conference session, which I'm doing. And then the next day, it's 2 days, 2 tracks running simultaneously. And you can, you know, pick and choose to go whichever courses you want. And if you miss any of the classes, the whole thing is archived for an entire year. So you can go back and rewatch any classes or watch any classes you might have missed or anything. And so we got a great, great crew of instructors, including Jefferson Graham.
Thank you very much.
We have people that are really serious about not only using their iPhone as a serious camera, but teaching and inspiring other people why they should be using theirs. So it's a lot of fun. There's a great community. We have people signed up from all over the world. It's going to be great. And it's just a lot of fun. We answer questions, we share techniques, we laugh in the chats. It's what's weird is it's an online conference, but there's such a sense of community because of the way everybody talks in the chat and everybody helps each other out. And it's just all kinds of people make friends. It's weird. People will make friends in the chat and then go meet in real life. Like they'll all get together someplace. It's crazy, but it's a lot of fun. And everyone's invited. So that's kind of what it's about right there.
Okay. So some of the other instructors beyond the two of us, with the greatest iPhone photographer in the world, as far as I'm concerned, Russell Preston Brown. Nobody.
Is that guy nuts?
Yeah.
Dude, he does stuff. You know what it is? I think Russell really shows people what can be done. Like, you know, you and I, you know, we take it very seriously. We take our iPhoneography seriously and we try to make good pictures. But Russell's going, I'm not even going to pretend this is a phone, that there's any kind of phone attached, and I'm going to go do the craziest thing using strobes, and I'm in the desert and I have an elephant, and he does full scale productions.
Yeah.
You know, his camera is the phone, and he pulls off stuff that is just amazing. He does not get the credit he deserves. He is one of the best iPhoneographers I've ever seen in my life. No, he's just really a creative guy.
Yeah, he's the best.
Yeah, I think he's the best.
Yeah. Okay.
he's the best.
Other instructors include Eric Kuna, Rick Salmon, Frederick Van, and Tracy Sweeney, and Lisa Carney, Dave Williams.
Cool.
And Dave Williams, tell everybody about some of the things. Okay, so, I mean, you open up your iPhone, you open up the app, and there's a shutter button, and you click it, okay? So you start there, but that's where most people start. Why is there a need for 2 days of seminars about iPhone photography? What are they going to learn?
I think they're going to learn a lot of things that you don't realize that camera app and the photos app have tremendous depth. It's just hidden beneath the surface. There's all kinds of things that you can uncover and do. And I think that for the general public, it's pretty much what you just described. If you're just a casual, you know, if you're a kid or just a casual person, all you want to do is take a picture of what you had for lunch and post it on Facebook, that app is going to take you as far as you need to go. But if you're a photographer at heart, like you're serious about this and you're used to shooting a DSLR or mirrorless, you're going to immediately start going, oh man, I wish I could do this. I wish I could do that. If it only did this, and it does. And I think that's what the amazing thing is Apple did a masterful job of hiding a lot of power. Like there is a lot of power in your phone and in the camera app and in the photos app that is literally just hidden. In fact, I'm starting the conference with a class on 20 iPhone tips. Now, I'm trying not to give the most obvious ones, right? I mean, there's some that everybody knows, but there's some that nobody knows. Like there's just ones that, and then once you see them, you can't unsee them and you start using them and they're just so much fun. And I think that's what it is it is way more than it appears. Under the hood, there's a lot of power, and that's what we're gonna unveil during the conference. Is you're going to start really looking at your phone in a different way. You'll never look at that camera app the same way after this.
Right. There are so many hidden things and Apple never tells anybody about them. So in my class, I've got a few things like how to open up your eyes that have been closed in the photo. You have a closed eye photo, how to fix it afterwards and open the eyes. That can be done. That's an amazing thing. Did you know, Scott, I came up with a pretty cool thing. If you shoot photo mode, but you shoot video, you click the shutter over to start doing a quick video in photo mode, you can zoom in on somebody, which you can't do in the video app. That's a hidden trick that most people have no idea about.
All right, back that up. Beep.
Okay.
Beep.
So.
Beep. Okay. What do you mean by zoom in? That's what I guess the part I
mean,
got lost on.
Zoom in. You can't do it in the video app, but if I put my finger on the screen, I can zoom from 13 millimeter to 120 millimeter.
While I'm shooting doing the video?
Uh-huh. In the photo app. Not in the video app. In the photo app.
Oh, what? Oh, in the photo app.
Yeah. But it doesn't work in the video app.
I got to try that. It's in the photo app?
Oh, okay. Open up the photo. Go to photo.
Doing it.
Okay. All right. And then swipe the shutter to the right.
All right. Let me find a video. You want me to do it to a video, right?
No. You're in photo. You're in photo. Okay. You're in photo. Okay. And then you swipe the slider over, and it'll start recording video automatically, right?
What, in the camera app or the photos app?
In the camera app.
Okay. Well, I knew that. Okay, so that part I have, right? So you're in the camera, you're in the photos camera app, and you swipe over and it starts recording video, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the tip.
That's the tip. No, it goes beyond that. You can now
The zoom part, I don't understand. That's the part I didn't get.
Yeah, right. you could record video and zoom in. But be sure to check out my class on hidden tricks on the iPhone.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Hey, that's pretty cool.
Yes. Okay.
I did not know that. Look, I already learned stuff. I'm not even at the conference yet.
And then my favorite tip that most people don't know about because it's turned off is the leveler. The leveler in iOS 17, in the photo app, that lets you know.
Where's that, Jefferson?
Yeah, you know about the leveler, right?
No, I don't know about I know about the crosshairs for shooting straight, but I don't know about the leveler. Oh, wait, there it is. Mine must be turned on. I see it now. The white line that turns yellow?
Yes.
Oh, I do like that. I'm going to add that to my class. Is it in your class?
It's in my class, yes.
I'm not going to put it in my now, you're rat. Okay.
Okay, what's your favorite tip, Scott? Give us one great tip that people don't know about.
All right. Here's one of my favorites. So I'm out in Monterey with a bunch of photographers. We go out to this waterfall. And everybody was all prepared. They brought their tripods. They brought mirrorlesses. They had ND filters so they could get smooth, silky water. Well, I knew a tip that blew them all away. They all stopped shooting their other cameras because the iPhone will allow you to make a long exposure after you take the shot and without using any filters whatsoever. So we're at this waterfall. All you have to do is make sure that live photo mode is turned on, right? The live photo mode. And then once you take the shot, you'll look up in the corner of your Photos app where you'll see up in the right corner. Here, I'm going to open an image so I say this correctly. You open an image that was taken with live photo mode. Let me yes. find
live one. Live photo mode. There's a drop down box.
Yes, it says the word live. Right, that's right. The word live, top left. You just click and it says long exposure. You just choose it. Wait a couple of seconds. And it like blurs the water. So everybody's sitting there trying to calculate everything and using timers and all this stuff. I take a picture and I walk over and I go like this. And everybody's like, how did you do that? It is the greatest trick for like streams, for fountains. That's where people forget to use it. It works great. You're on vacation or whatever. You see a beautiful fountain and then you freeze the water. Then you go to live and choose long exposure. And you're like, oh. I'm telling you, Jeff, it is a killer tip to see in person.
Handheld,
completely handheld with no filters or no anything. It's built right in. The one thing I tried the other day where I thought it actually, the exposure was too long. I was, for my daughter's birthday, we went to Disney World and, which is, you know, it's an hour and 15 minutes for me. And I tried it on the carousel. And it was, you know, zipping around. And it actually went like too long. It's like, you know, you want that little bit of round blur, but it was like, wow, that thing is really getting it done. It was surprisingly robust, I would say.
Yeah, it is hit and miss, though. People need to know that when you do live photos. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. In my class, I will not plug it anymore, but in my class, I will do a full 10 minutes on live, and it way more than just long exposure. Okay, I've got a whole bunch of other live tips and tricks in there. Some questions are pouring in, and we've got a nice hard one, a nice tough one from Roy. So
ask an easier one, Roy.
No, this is a good one. Why should I sign up for this conference instead of buying some of Scott's books or reading articles from Jeff? What do you say, Scott?
This is, Roy, you should do both. So Roy, this is going to sound crazy what I'm about to tell you. So Roy, you know, I write books on photography and I write books on Photoshop, right? And Lightroom, right? And I write for a publishing house called Rocky Nook Publishing, right? They publish everybody's book, right? They do all that. You can't name a photographer that they don't do their book. They are the number one publishing house, Jefferson's book, everyone's
no,
book.
No, I don't have a book with them. So that's, I'm the one you.
Oh, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time.
Okay. Yeah.
So the number one selling book at the entire publishing house is my iPhone photography book. It's outselling every book on photography, Photoshop, Lightroom. And it came out years ago. Now, luckily, like in this last, I'm sure you noticed this in the last iteration of the iPhone 15, right? They didn't really change very much. They did a surprisingly, shockingly small amount of things to the photo app and to the camera app, except for adding that, you know, longer magnification. They almost did nothing. And so the book is still super relevant. It's like all the same stuff. And they really haven't changed the interface or changed anything. And so that book is selling like insane amounts. And so first, Roy, you should definitely go buy that book. However, as you just learned from Jefferson just now, there will be things that are not in that book. But it really, it's not just about, you know, what tip can you pick up? Because there's I'm doing a pre-conference session called What Makes a Great iPhone Photo. But really, you can just take the iPhone part out of it. The class is What Makes a Great Photo. And this helps you because really, what does it matter what brand of camera you use? Like, I'll be showing images in that class that were taken from my Canon mirrorless, my Canon DSLR, my iPhone 10, iPhone 11, iPhone 12, I don't have a 13. I have a 14. I don't have the 15. You'll never know which ones are which. It really isn't about the camera. What it's really about is understanding what makes a good photo. And once you do that, it changes a lot of things. It changes many things on how you see and how you make photos. So it's really,
What
are you hearing that, or is it just me?
No, a truck went by.
I just heard some okay. All right. I thought it was on my end. I'm like,
No.
But anyway, so you're going to learn a lot more about photography techniques. You're going to be a part of a community, and it's not very expensive. That's the other thing. if you sign up now, you save $100, I think it is. So it's there's a lot more to it. Figure it this way. It's 2.5 days, two tracks, with all people's, all these different instructors, their different points of view, their different personal experiences, their different techniques. So don't think of it as a day where everybody opens up and shows you how to use the camera app. That would be a very boring, conference. This is really, it's about inspiration. It's about ideas. It's about sharing. It's about the community that's built around this thing that you'll meet all kinds of people and talk with all kinds of people. You'll get all kinds of questions answered. There's an art competition for iPhone photography that is a lot of fun. There's just a whole bunch to it. So if you think of it as, it's just another one of Jefferson's articles or Scott's books, it goes way beyond that. And it's new stuff that it certainly isn't in my book, and stuff that we just learned stuff. I just learned stuff here just now from Jefferson. So there's always lots of new stuff to learn, but it's one class of tips and tricks, one from Jefferson, one from me. There's still another 18 classes.
There's still Dave Williams, who's one of the great Aurora photographers, and Eric Kuhn, who's one of the great rocket photographers,
and astrophotographers.
There's the amazing Russell Preston Brown, who does things with an iPhone that nobody else does. There's Lisa Carney, who does movie posters, who does incredible work. I mean, there are so many great instructors.
Tracy Sweeney, family photography. She's doing a whole thing. She does incredible family shots. I mean, shooting children, kids, newborns. Tracy is a miracle unto herself. She is phenomenal, phenomenal.
Okay, from James, already signed up for the conference. Yay. This will be my third iPhone conference at Kelby One, and I learn new tricks at Kelby One conferences every year. Great work, guys.
Wow, thank you, James. What a nice thing to say. And perfectly timed. Thank you.
Sheila wants to remind everybody that when you do the long, you do anything in live photos, you don't get to shoot raw. So
good. That's a very good point. Yeah, there are some limitations. Certainly, it's like anything else in life. Don't you wish you could? There were no limitations, but
But look at what you get. Arthur says, "Great tip for a smooth video on Zoom." Yeah.
Okay, yeah, Arthur. That's a good tip.
All right. Arthur is in Maine. I shot some lighthouses with him back in the fall. So it's pretty good. Ooh. From Mr. Mugman, who says, thanks for the tip. I never knew there was a leveler. Okay, so on the leveler, you go to, I don't have my live iPhone plugged in right now, and I can't because of this whole live stream, what we're doing. But go to settings and hit the camera. Okay. Settings and go to the camera app. Then at the camera app,
it's way down there.
It's way down there. And then once you open the camera app, go down
under
to composition.
That's where it's at.
Okay. It's right under grid. And turn on the grid.
Level.
And turn on the leveler. Mirror front, leave off. and then see outside the window. I think it's called something like that. That will
view
basically
outside the frame.
Yeah, that tells you that if you shot at the 1x, this is what it would look like at the 0.5. And the reason I say turn off the mirror front, don't turn on mirror front frame, is if you're taking a selfie like Scott loves to do, and he usually wears a t-shirt that says something on it, like Oldsmar or something, whatever. It'll Marshall. Be spelled with an R. I can't read. I don't know what it says. What did it say? Marshmallow?
Marshall.
Marshall. Like Marshall I think they make amps. They make amps. Yeah,
they make amps, yeah.
Yeah, the Who used to like to kick them in. It would be spelled starting with an L. If you turn that thing on, because it turns all the words backwards. So I always leave that off. So that's another one of your great tips here for you today. Sheila says, the lessons are good for 1 year. And that means the various courses. Okay, why not have access to the course longer? She wants 2 years. She wants 3 years. What do you say, Scott?
Well, because then let's just say I retire. We sell the business, we close the business, you know, and I'm not planning of any of those things because I don't want to retire and I don't want to sell and I don't want to close it. But at a certain point, you don't want to go out so many years that now, oh, we can't close because we promised people 3 years of these classes. You don't want to be in a situation where that happens. This is why a lot of people limit things like that, because you don't know what the future holds. So, you know. So if get hit by a bus, yeah, which is, you know, always a possibility, you know, and everybody goes, well, we're throwing in the towel, then, you know, they're not stuck going, wait, we owe Sheila 2 years of this, you know. But they figure I'm good for a year. They go, he looks pretty healthy. He seems like he's okay. We could do a year.
And also, if you go longer, then people tend to not look at it or whatever. You have to give them a limit on that. You said that your iPhone photography book is the bestseller at Rocky Nook. That we spoke, you told me that the iPhone conference was your most well-attended, at least the last one.
Is that
still?
Well, we don't know. Yeah, we're not there yet, but it's booking very, very well. So it could well be. It could well match or eclipse the last one. But I think that's pretty crazy of all the conferences that we do. But Jefferson, doesn't that show you the interest in the iPhone? And it's not a camera phone conference, right? It's not, you know, bring your Samsung or your LG or whatever, you know, it is an iPhone photography conference. And it really goes to show you, you know, the intense interest today's photographers have in it. I think we're all waking up to the power of this camera. It took me a little longer than your average bear. My wife was the one that convinced me. She was taking so many good shots with her phone. And I'm looking over at her and I'm like, that ain't right. Like I'm looking at her shots and sometimes hers are better than mine. And I'm like, now my wife has an incredible eye. She's a traditional artist. So she draws and paints with acrylics and oils on. She's really good. And I used to use her as my secret weapon. I'd go out someplace and we'd be shooting together, or I would be shooting and she'd go, honey, get down here, shoot at this angle, and get that house in the background with the tree and all. I'll be like, son of a gun, how did you see that? She does have a phenomenal eye. So, you know, I have to give her, and then once she got her own camera, forget about it. If we're on vacation and people say, well, what's it like being, you know, does your wife get annoyed with like you lagging behind? I'm like, oh no. I'm dragging my wife. I'm like, honey, come on, let's go. And she's like, I just want to take one more shot. Honey, come on, it's time to go. The tour group is getting on the bus. Let's go.
I just want to let you know that Sheila says, come on, Scott, you're not going to retire. The Photoshop summits are yours for life. Just saying.
So. Well, let's just hope my life is more than 1 year. But they looked at me and said, I don't know, I give him 12 months is okay. We feel pretty good for 12 months. So I'm around till next Valentine's Day, basically. So
yeah.
Maybe longer, hopefully.
James has a question that I think I might be able to help with. I don't know about you. I have the iPhone 15 Pro Max with an OtterBox case. This fits in my platypod grip nicely, but that does not seem as secure as using a cage assembly. Can the cage be used with a protective case? Now, I actually use cages. I don't know, Scott, do you?
No, I do not.
Okay. The small rig $39.95 case will fit you can put your protective case right in there without a problem. So That's my two cents, James. Yeah, I like the cases. I like the cages because you could then stick flashes in, light in there in your mics. So it gives you a little bit more fun. So that's just me. And Roy, we have another hard one. Another hard one from Roy. The problem with the last conference is that a few of the classes were above many common, they're above our head. And by beyond their level of understanding, unless the presenter slows down. So I'm going to slow down for Roy.
Well, no. So Roy, that is one of the great things about it being recorded. You can stop it. You can pause it. You can even stream it at a slower speed. You can say, I want to take it at 3/4 speed or a half speed. So if it goes fast, you can stop it, pause it, rewind it, or slow the speed. Yeah. So there are, well, this is why we have 20 classes. Because if we did all beginners classes, then people that are more accomplished in their photography or further down the road with their photography would be like, oh, this is all for beginners. There's nothing here for me. When you're putting together one of these conferences, which Eric Kuna and I and Christina all work on together, it is it's a wide range that you're trying to keep everybody happy. I want to have something for everybody. I don't want anyone to go to the conference and come away and say it was all too advanced. It was all too beginner. It was all too intermediate. We have to have a little something for everyone. So yeah, there are going to be some classes that are for people who are very accomplished photographers in their own right. And there'll be some classes that are, you know, last conference I did a class called, I think it was called The iPhone for Absolute Beginners. So it really just, we're trying to cover everything and it's a lot to cover. There's a lot to cover and a lot of different, what do you call it? What's the word I'm looking for? Levels of proficiency. Look at how many Jeffersons we had on screen there. That was like twin Jeffersons.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry about that. I didn't even know.
No, I like it. Oh, okay. No, it's good. Now,
you were supposed to be in there. I set that up earlier, and I was going to slip your image in there. And it was just like a dummy, like a placeholder. So I apologize.
No, No, do not. I think it's cool.
We just heard from this guy that you may know. His name is Larry Becker. And he says, Jeff, I'm going to have to get you a Platypod grip. They hold iPhones, and because they have two Colchu mounts, you can add microphones and lights. Okay. Sounds good.
No, I like the Platypod. The Platypod grip is actually really, really good. So even though I'm not a fan of Larry Becker, I really do. I'm kidding. I'm Larry Becker's biggest fan. So, but it is it's very, very surprisingly well designed and about a third of the cost of other people that are doing similar things. It's very well thought out and probably underpriced.
Okay. Scott, what book are you writing now? Because you're always writing something.
I am. I'm working on a book and it's a little different. My publisher wanted to try something different. So it is the look and feel of a coffee table book. Mm-hmm. So it's bigger, it's hardcover, it's really very pretty. But it is called Crush the Composition. And it is based on one of the most popular classes that I've ever done called Crush the Composition. So it is that, but extrapolated out where you have, you know, not just an hour to talk about it, but an entire book to show many examples. And it's not the rules of composition, though there is one chapter, it's many chapters, but there is one simple chapter on the rules of composition, just because if you do a composition book and you don't include that, everyone freaks out. But that's one 16th or 1/13th of the book. The rest of it is all the other composition stuff that people don't talk about that actually are what you'll actually do in real life. So it's very, very different. And so we're very excited about it and I'm working on it. In fact, I'm coming up on my deadline here at the end of the month. So, you know, if I wasn't on screen right now, I would be typing furiously, but okay. I can't because it's the same keyboard I use for this.
People forget what a great photographer you are, and as somebody who has visited the Ultimar offices of Kelby One, it's so inspiring because you got these beautiful prints hanging on the wall and by you, and it's great.
Oh, well, thanks. So we have a gallery, a beautiful art gallery that my wife designed in our studios with moving walls, and it's, and you know, all this balanced daylight. She did a ton of research to put this beautiful thing together. And we have a summit coming up for the people that are Kelby One VIP members, and we're going to be doing something in the gallery for there. But one of the reasons why it all looks so good, hats off to Bay Photo. They have this way of displaying prints. It's called their exposure system. It's like your prints, they stick off the wall, and they look phenomenal. I mean, they everybody that comes to these gallery showings that we do, they're always like, they're looking at it and they're going behind it, and all. It's really a very clever system. So I don't want to take the credit. A lot of the credit goes to the wonderful mounting and substrate that has been put together by the folks at Bay Photo.
Yeah, well, I think the prints look pretty cool too, and the guy shooting them did a great job. Larry says,
very kind.
That's great news. I've learned more about composition from Scott than anybody, and I've been to tons of photography conferences. And Sheila says, I second what Larry Becker said. I love them. Love Platypod.
So, yeah.
There goes that. Okay, so you're writing a new book, and you're in your photo studio right now. You're surrounded by softboxes and tripods and cameras, and of course, that's all a joke for anybody who's watching us on YouTube. We've got guitars. He's the music man. That's what he is. Scott Kelby is a music man, it's his other passion besides one of his other passions besides photography. He owns, I believe, 50 guitars, or is it more?
Oh no, I was at 41 and I've peeled off quite a few because I'm short on walls. So I think I'm probably down in the 30s at this point, you know, maybe 33, 34. I have them there in cases in my closet. I can see about 11 or 12 cases. I have 18 or 19 guitars in this room, but in my closet over there are all these. I don't think you won't be able to see it, I don't think. There's you won't be able to see it, but there's
we got keyboards, we got guitars, we got drum machines,
yeah,
we got all sorts of stuff.
It's a home studio here that I have fun in and do songs and stuff, just for fun.
Yeah, one thing you like to do is you like to take a classic rock song and then recreate it in your own style, note for note, right?
Yeah, so what I do is I have a software that strips out the main vocals, so you have just the vocal track. So let's just say I'm doing, I don't know, I just did Oh What a Night, you know, December 1963 by Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons. But I normally do stuff more like Def Leppard and Bon Jovi. But anyway, strip out the vocal track, and then I go back and recreate the keyboards, the drums, the bass, the horns, the strings, whatever's in the song. But I try to make it not sound like karaoke. I want the parts to be exact. So it takes me about 2 weeks of many, many, many hours at night per day to get the song sounding right. But when they're done and you play it, you wouldn't know it wasn't the original. And I do every drum lick, every guitar lick, everything just like the record. And I try to find the right sounds and all. So really it's a pain in the butt. The whole thing is, but it's like what I do instead of golf.
Well, when
other
you start
do golf, yeah. I do this.
When you start with Oh What a Night, do you start by just learning the song?
Usually I lay down the drum track first, and you know, that was my first instrument was drums. So the drum track's usually pretty easy for me. Then I actually have to go learn the bass part and then learn the keyboard part and learn the horn part. And I mean, that one has horn parts, you know, it has a little horn bridge in it and all. And I just, sometimes you can find a tutorial. Sometimes you can find sheet music. Sometimes you have to use your ear. Like nobody writes out horn charts. You know, I mean, I guess somebody does. But you don't very often find a horn chart, you know, or a string chart. Here's what the strings are playing on this song. No, you have to figure it out. And over the years, I've gotten quite good. Now, I used to play full time in a band for 14 years. So I got good at picking out, you know, the parts from the songs. That was just kind of what I did every week in and week out for 14 years. So my ear is pretty good at being able to go, okay, they're playing a third on the bottom and a, you know, seventh on top, but whatever. But hey, what we didn't mention was I got to jam with Jefferson. As I'm sure you know, is a super good guitar player, super good. And he came on stage with my band and jammed with us, and he did great. See, look, Mr. Mugwin says right there,
you're a good musician yourself.
You're very, very good. By the way, even though I can play multiple instruments, I don't play any instrument as well as Jefferson plays guitar. So I'm like a journeyman, you know, I'm, I'm, I'm like, yeah, I'm okay at a bunch of instruments. And Jefferson is really, really good at guitar. So it's a he's at a different level.
I don't know. It's just a different style. It's a different style. You know, it's jazz. So, yeah. But anyway.
Jazz is hard.
Let's just say, pour
some sugar on me is not.
Yeah, we're both great. David Sherman says, what is the new book called? Well, it's called Crush the Composition, right?
Yeah. It's a takeoff on Crush the Competition, which was a very famous business book. So it's Crush the Composition. I don't think it'll be available probably till early fall because paper has become so expensive that they have my books printed in Korea.
Really?
And then shipped on a, yeah, it's, dude, it's gotten crazy. What it costs to produce a book in America is just, it's, you know, it's like everything else. So they basically, now sometimes on a book that has big, big pre-sales, they'll print a couple of thousand copies here and then all the rest get printed in Korea. And so now I will say this, they print beautifully well. Like the printers in Korea are spot on, man. They're deadly. The stuff looks great. I've never had to send one back or, you know, and I've had to do that in the US where we say this book is not, you know, you're going to photographers. The pictures have to look right. You know, everything has to look good. And I have my own in-house editor, my own in-house designer. Kim and Jess are phenomenal. And they take incredible pride in putting out a book that looks great, that reads great. The pictures have to be great, the color separations. And we have turned them down and refused to take delivery. That does not happen with the South Korean books. They come in and you, it takes a while, but it's worth it, I guess.
Another question from Roy. Will all the presenters make their email available? And will they be willing to answer questions throughout the year? Boy, does this guy have a lot of needs here, huh?
Roy, they actually give their cell phone numbers, and they are available 24/7. So they say, call late and call often. So Roy, no. how about no? So Roy, they are not going to do any of that stuff. However, during the conference, while you're watching the classes, they are right there in the chats. Like they finish their class and they go into the chat and they're there to answer questions for you, you know, right after you watch the class. But no, they're not going to give you their email address or their credit cards or social security number or any other things. So look, I think Roy wasn't it Roy that had been to some before, or was this?
No.
Was that?
Oh, no. Yeah. Right. Yeah. He said it was too advanced. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Advanced. All right. So, Roy, you know the gig. You know they're not going to give you that. Roy's just setting you up there.
Yeah. No, he already has my email, and that's fine. And well, I'm happy to answer his questions, but who doesn't have my email? Right.
All right.
I'm easy. Anyway, on that note, I'm going to let Scott go back to his book writing that he's got to do and running Kelby One and all. And he's got some new song he's working on as well. Thank you everybody for tuning in. Don't forget to check out the conference here. Where's my slide? There's two of me there. I apologize.
I love it. No,
it starts on the 27th and it runs for 2.5 days. We have been having fun the last few weeks, having different instructors from the conference. We had Rick Salmon. We had Terry White last week. And of course we got Scott this week, and then Frederick Van Johnson will be here next week at the same time, same channel. So I think everybody knows how to find Scott, but if they want to find you without giving them your email address, Scott, where should they find you?
Well, the conference is at KelbyOneLive.com. You can follow me over on Instagram, which is just simply Scott Kelby. So Instagram.com/ScottKelby. On Facebook, I am S. Kelby. It looks like Skelby, but S. Kelby on Facebook. And on Twitter, I'm Scott Kelby, too.
Okay.
So there, any of those places. Or LightroomKillerTips.com is the daily blog that I write with Lightroom tips.
At Jefferson Graham on Instagram and Twitter, at PhotoWalks TV on YouTube. We've got some fun stuff this weekend about backup in cloud services. So look forward to that. And look for me and Scott and all those other great instructors at the iPhone Photography Conference, February 27th, 28th, and the leap year, 29th, which is the day that we'll all be joining you to answer questions live, right?
Yeah. That'll be awesome.
Okay. Thanks again, Scott.
Leap day. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it. Take care, everybody.